In Rio time, it is the 17th of August 2016, which means the rest of the world is probably ahead or just behind or somewhere in the middle. But the Olympic Games continues, but that's not what the Rugby Pass podcast is all about. It's all about the footy. And the footy starts again this weekend in terms of the Rugby Championship. Scotty Stevenson and Andrew Mulligan with you as we report this pod live from the Rio Olympic Games, where Andrew Mulligan, you've become a sensation in Ireland. Care to discuss?
You know what? We've got this mix zone, we being Sky New Zealand, and we've only got four of them throughout the whole games because there's only four reporters. And being at the Athletics this week, it's been truly amazing just to talk to, in a very privileged position, a galaxy of stars. And some are disaffected and unaffected by it all, and some of them are really engaging. And Thomas of Ireland, he was, quite frankly, the greatest interview I've ever had in a mix zone. He was so engaging.
Now, Thomas Barr, you were talking about, who ran the 400 metres hurdles, not just ran the hurdles, won the semi-final.
In the time of his life, and pretty much this is what way it was. And I thought, oh, you know, an Irish sprinter. I didn't want to, you know, be patronising or condescending towards him because he'd been a champion of an athlete coming into these games. I quickly found out, having to Google him. And the interview that we had, he was really engaging, just got picked up by Irish media. Well, an Irish website. They claim to be Ireland's number one sports website. So it was pretty cool. It was a nice thing to wake up to.
That's the great thing about the Olympics. You get to interview a whole lot of different sports people, but you and I have interviewed a number of Wallabies and All Blacks, which is where we're going to start the podcast this week. We're going to start with the All Blacks taking on the Wallabies at ANZ Stadium, the first game of the Rugby Championship, but also the first game of the 2016 Bledisloe Cup Series. Need I remind Australian listeners that the All Blacks have held that trophy since 2003? It's a long time between drinks. 13 times they've retained that trophy since. And in fact, the All Blacks have lost just one of their last 13 against the Wallabies. Let's go back a few days to the war of words, if we can call it that, between Steve Hansen and Michael Checker. Steve Hansen taking a leaf out of the Eddie Jones playbook and launching into Checker as soon as he touched down in Australia. Do we buy anything into this coach speak before a test match?
I think you do with these two. I think they're really engaging guys. I think Steve Hansen has put on a polished media performance since he's got the job as All Blacks coach. I think he's learned the game. He's learned how to be a head coach because he was salty.
Salty!
He was so salty when he was assistant coach. Didn't he have to do the Wednesday press conference, the day off Wednesday press conference as an assistant?
Yeah, he did. It was back in the days of Graham Henry, and geez, he hated it. He just absolutely hated it. And the worst thing about it is no one could understand a word he's saying. So not only has he got better with dealing with the media, he's actually stopped mumbling as much, which, you know, much to his credit. Look, the All Blacks go into the side without Dane Coles, no Joe Moody, a rejig in the midfield with Crotty and Fekitoa partnering up. If you're the Wallabies right now, are you thinking there's some weaknesses? Straight away, there's a chink in the armour. You lose Dane Coles, you lose one of the most mobile forwards you've got. Well, you've got Crotty and Fekitoa in the midfield who haven't quite fired up this season as we know they can. And then added to that, Beauden Barrett getting the test start in jersey number 10. Is this an All Black side that deserves to go in with confidence, or is this an All Black side that the Wallabies can look at and say, treat us with a lot of disrespect if you want, but we know there are ways to attack now?
Yeah, I look at the way that the All Blacks have been performing, and you can only really gauge it against Wales, and it certainly is a different looking team, a team against Wales than it is here, just in terms of the mobility of the side, because there's no Julian Savea, he's on the bench, there's no lock cover on the bench, they've got Liam Squire and they've got Artie Savea there as well. TJ Perenara, Aaron Cruden and Julian Savea are the specialists cover positions in the back line, but you've got Ben Smith, who is like it's like an Allen key. You can pretty much just help out with anything you need, or a Leatherman would be more apt. He's a Leatherman, isn't he? He's a white Leatherman. I just feel as though the Wallabies are a different proposition at home, but anytime you put Quade Cooper in the mix and they think that's their secret weapon, I think you just lick your lips and think, bring him on. Bring him on as early as possible, because as soon as he faces an All Blacks team, he shits the bed. There's no other description better for it. I've never seen Quade Cooper have a better game in a Wallabies jersey against the All Blacks. A good game, that should be. So good luck to them.
The whole notion that Australian rugby has gone outside the boundaries where New Zealand rugby fears to tread, and saying to some of their senior players, well, on legacy value, you can play offshore but come back into the Wallaby camp. Is Checker asking for trouble here by not picking local combinations that have plied their trade in Super Rugby that are all together in it, by saying to these guys, you can go away and earn a squillion French francs and then come back and still retain your Wallaby position? Does that not cause, you think, a little bit of animosity within the group?
You know what? It probably does. I can't, you know, really comment on the fact that these guys need to go away, because the ARU and Bill Pulver have always been in a dire financial position. That goes up and down depending on broadcasting deals confirmed. I think the limits that they put on 60 tests or 7 years of service towards the Wallabies is probably the best kind of compromise you could find as a Wallabies player and a Wallabies team. And so they've earned their right to do it. If you're a young player and you begrudge a guy coming back and taking your position, then, you know, you've got to play your trade in Australia. And combination-wise, it will affect them. You know what? But if they're used to Checker and his systems now, he's been in the job, what, a year? Year and a half? Probably that. It means that you've got a guy who is understanding what he has, what he doesn't have, and what he's going to have.
So the New Zealand have lost just one of their last six at ANZ Stadium. A lot of people have talked about the Sydney venue being a bit of a hoodoo for the All Blacks, but, you know, they've won the last four and drawn one against the Australians, and that one loss, of course.
But that's not good enough.
No, it's not good enough, but Australia have lost seven of their last 10 at the same venue. I mean, who's got the hoodoo here? It's not the All Blacks.
I know, and you know what? We had a draw with them. We've had a loss with them as well. Just that loss, I think it was before the World Cup. It was in the same kind of, I think it was the same fixture, well, to be honest.
It was to win the Rugby Championship, which Australia duly did, and then they went on to blow it in 2015 World Cup. So
that is the thing, and I was at that game, and it was weird. It was a weird game. It was like the All Blacks were purposely taken out of their winning game plan. It was strange, and they missed tackles, and props were running around them. They were giving up. They looked out muscled. They looked out passion, for want of a terrible, terrible adjective. It was one that was strange. And TJ Perenara came on. And he had a shock. He tried too hard at the very end. But Nehe Milne-Scudder was the shining light in that game. Two tries, and everybody was like, he's the next big thing. Now it's kind of like, well, the All Blacks, they're trying to rewrite history here. They're trying to re-energize an All Blacks campaign after a World Cup win, so I think it's going to be different.
It is going to be different. Israel Folau says they're going to bomb them to death, and I get the feeling they will. The All Blacks have always been big kickers of the football, and in fact, I think it's one of the great myths of world rugby that the All Blacks run the ball more than any other team. They actually kick the ball more than any other team. Israel Folau, one feels, is going to have a lot of work out of the deep, and that might just be the decider in this game, how well Israel Folau can handle the high ball and his back three partners. We move on to South Africa up against Argentina. South Africa aiming to win the Rugby Championship for just the fourth time. They must be the most disappointing side in this Rugby Championship. They really must. But again, we're in a state of flux here. Alistair Coetzee got his first series out of the way against the Irish. Didn't all go to plan for him. He lines up here with still the political upheaval of South African rugby quota systems, racial divides hanging over him, and also the fact that he's not universally admired as a Springbok coach just yet. Alistair Coetzee can't do a worse job against the All Blacks than Heineke Meyer did, though.
Yeah, and you know what? The Box have always got something else in the back of their minds, whether or not they deserve to be, if it's going to be something that has been a selection issue or a form issue. We're looking at Argentina as well, and the Argentinians have won just once in 22 attempts against the Box. However, it was last year, and it was quite emphatic, wasn't it? So whether or not the Argentinians are better off having the Jaguares in the Super Rugby competition, or they're just the same unit as we come to expect, they like to go wide, their precision isn't as accurate as it should be, quite like what we expect here at home in New Zealand. But I just think South Africa, they do like making clean breaks, but they're not very good at doing it compared to everybody else.
Yeah, I think that's always been the issue with South African rugby. It's not the fact that they don't create opportunities. It's just over the last couple of years, we haven't seen them take them. We saw their plan under Heineke Meyer, which was was a game of bull rush, basically, and you try and break the other team physically and mentally. It was a brutalist style of code, which I think the Lions have shown us this year in Super Rugby, that South Africans don't need to play that way. In fact, they're more effective when they play loose, when they throw the ball around, when they use their skill, their swerve, their pace. The Lions side showed that plenty of that, and the Argentinians are exactly the same. I think this could be a more entertaining game than the Wallabies-All Blacks match. And not that I think the All Blacks-Wallabies match is a foregone conclusion. I just think we might start to see what a new South African style of play looks like. I know that Alistair Coetzee is famous for his defensive structure rather than his attack, but I think the influences coming into South African rugby after that Super Rugby series are going to be just all too powerful for Coetzee to handle. He's going to have to take the leash off this side.
Yeah, so who did Coetzee coach in Super Rugby?
Yeah, it was the Stormers.
And so what kind of patterns are we used to watching the Stormers play?
Tackle.
Yeah, tackle rugby. So will he employ the Stormers' style of play to a team that is made up of all sorts of different players? And will it be a style of play there that Coetzee is happy to embrace because the Lions have proven that it can work? And how much of that team will be the Lions because they are head and shoulders above the best team in Super Rugby for South Africa?
Yeah, look, they have been, but they've been that way because they've been entertaining to watch. You know, a team that wins rugby enjoys playing its rugby. And I don't know if the Stormers team really enjoyed their footy. Look, you know, I've called a lot of Stormers games over the years, and they've had some wonderful players, the Jean de Villiers, the Skalk Burgers, the likes, and the Dwayne Vermeulens. But ultimately, it was beat them up, run at the player, not at the space, and we'll see how we go. I just think given some different personnel in the Springbok side this year, they won't lose first up against Argentina. I think they'll want to make a statement in the Rugby Championship, and I think they'll look around, and everyone will say, well, the All Blacks are miles ahead. They've started with a great series win over Wales. I've got to tell you, forget that. When it comes to the Rugby Championship and the age-old rivalries between the South Africans, New Zealanders, Australians, and a developing rivalry with Argentina, who share a lot of similar traits with all three teams, I think we're going to see a great Rugby Championship. You're on the Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty Stevenson joined by Andrew Mulligan as we look ahead to the weekend's opening clashes of the Rugby Championship. The All Blacks will face Australia and South Africa will take on Argentina. I'm going to get a prediction out of our guest today. Andrew, give us a bit of a score prediction for both games.
I'm looking forward to the All Blacks game to see how they use Julian Savia off the bench and rejigging that back line, and how Malachi Fekitoa, for some reason, he's not very good at rugby now, according to some pundits back in New Zealand.
What?
Apparently, Malachi Fekitoa is on like a second chance here, so I think he's going to be excellent. He always plays well against Australia in Australia. He's won us a test match.
I've got a theory for you on Malachi Fekitoa. Have we got time quickly? All right, this is a official Rugby Pass podcast theory. Did you see how tight Malachi Fekitoa's shorts were this Highlanders season? A man cannot make adequate football decisions when he is squeezing the life out of his nutsack.
That is a wonderful theory. Hopefully the kit guys have given Malachi Fekitoa.
Just, you've got to loosen them up. Just a little bit of breathing room does not go astray. I mean, otherwise you may as well come out in a pair of lycra. Look, they were tight shorts. And I mean, that's not a fabric that gives.
No.
You know, look, it's just, there's no stretch in there. So, I mean, you are crushing your meat and potatoes for 80 minutes, and you know, no wonder you're making some defensive lapses there when your brain is focused on the dull ache between your legs.
That's such a good point. I love that theory. All Blacks 29-17. The Springboks, don't know about this.
Really?
I don't know. I know they're going to win, but I don't know how much they're going to win by. Okay, I'm going to say Springboks are going to win 27-15. The Argentinians don't score a try. They kick penalties.
Five penalties.
Yeah.
Jeez. You've really got me fizzed up about that one. That's it for the Rugby Pass podcast. Live from Rio, Andrew Mulligan, Scotty Stevenson. Don't forget, get into the Rugby Championship this weekend. It all starts, the All Blacks and the Wallabies in Australia, South Africa taking on the Pumas in South Africa. Make sure you subscribe today, rugbypass.com.